Welcome to the MacTurvers Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, March 9th, 2018. With me today, Brian Chaffin. I'm glad you're here. How are you?
I'm good. I've got construction noises going on, but I am good. Thanks for having me. Good to be here. Good to see you.
Yeah.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I really am glad you're here, and I'm glad that your construction noises are getting really close to done.
Yes.
Yes. Cool. John Martellaro, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. And good morning, Brian.
Good morning, John.
So we might as well just like hop right into it, and let's talk about the thing that everyone is always wondering about, and it's Facebook tracking.
Well, very specifically, Facebook listening.
Yes, and okay, so the ongoing, I don't want to call it a meme, but it's kind of a meme, is that if you talk about a product, then it's going to show up in ads on Facebook for you. And there's all this anecdotal evidence out there where people say, well, I don't have a cat, and I was talking about cat food, and then all of a sudden I have a cat food ad in my feed. So that's proof that Facebook is listening to the microphone on my smartphone and then feeding me ads. And no, that's
making Facebook the most powerful intelligence gathering operation in the world.
Right. So no, that's not happening. I know it's not happening because there's all these technical reasons why. There's also legal reasons why it's not going to be happening. But even still, I went ahead and tested this myself, and I had someone else test it on their own phone. And what we did was we started talking about pink wigs because it's something that neither of us had ever talked about. So we had several discussions over a few days where we kept saying pink wig. And of course, at no point did we ever get ads for pink wigs, because that's not how it works. So, Brian, you found a really cool article that's explaining what's really happening. And do you want to give us the quick rundown of that?
Yeah, sure. Wall Street Journal piece, Joanna Stern. It's kind of a two-part piece. One part of it is stuff that we've covered frequently, which is how to limit, not stop, because, you know, LOL, mm-hmm. but how to limit Facebook's tracking of you. Mm-hmm. Right. And we've covered those things many times. We've talked about how to lock down your privacy. I think Andrew did a recent piece for us on just that, which will be in the show notes.
Of course it will.
Excellent. And, but what she was focusing on specifically was this long running belief of many people. And by the way, I like, she explains why it doesn't happen. And then you go down to the comments, and then the comments are all like BS. Because, you know, because LOL, my anecdote. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so she explains that she's talked to a lot of Facebook people and former Facebook people, and they say, no, it's just really not possible. I mean, like, we'd have to be better than the NSA at gathering stuff and listening to it and trying to figure out the context to even try to begin that. And so instead, what she did is she actually puts together the ways that Facebook does track you. As a matter of fact, her tagline, I'm going to paraphrase, but her tagline is Facebook isn't listening, but they're certainly watching. Mm-hmm. And so she puts together all the various ways that Facebook actually does track us and how Facebook works with third party data collection, its own data collection, and how third party data collections work with Facebook. And then she, you know, sort of paints the profile of how these seemingly coincidental things can happen. And then, of course, like I said, what you can do to stop it or limit it.
So, one of the things that she talked about was the loyalty cards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I hadn't really thought about before Joanna was talking about it. And if I've got this right, the way it works is you use your loyalty card at whatever store you shop at. So, of course, now the store has all that data about what you purchased. Then they turn around and sell that to other companies that can aggregate and use that information in other ways. And Facebook then works with those companies or contracts with them and then is able to take that information and match it up with your Facebook account and then target you with ads.
Facebook knows who you are and the loyalty cards know who you are. And it turns out that's enough to know who you are. Who figured?
Yeah, how about that?
So, you know, and I'm Google's probably doing a lot of the same stuff too. I mean, Google's tracking us all over the place for sure. I mean, they're both these companies are tracking where we browse. There's something called Facebook Pixel, which websites can identify, can embed into their sites and that allows Facebook to track what you do on sites that have nothing to do with Facebook. And, you know, there's all these different ways of seeing what you do, seeing what you're looking up and, you know, noting what you're looking at on Instagram and, you know, what you're buying and it's all just being tied together. And that's why it ends up seeming like Facebook is sometimes listening to us, but it's really not. It is comprehensive data mining. Based on all the things that they can do.
Yeah. And it's fascinating just how detailed they can get with the information that we're either knowingly or unwittingly providing simply by being consumers.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. I've been saying ever since this whole thing about Facebook is listening through your microphone that no, they are not. And I love that now we have something that just breaks it down and says, here's why they're not.
Well, yeah, but again, you go to the comments and, you know, this is the Wall Street Journal. This is a relatively educated readership and the comments are filled with, yes, they are. So, yeah. You know, someone might have broken it down. We might have been talking about it. There will continue to be this belief because truthiness matters.
Yeah. Yes. Truthiness matters. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. So before we move on, I'm just going to let everyone know, no, Facebook is not listening through your microphone. No matter how much you want to believe that, they are not doing it.
Yeah, Apple would not allow that.
No, absolutely not.
But I don't think Google wouldn't allow that. Google is this, you know, insidious corporation when it comes to intruding into our privacy, but Facebook is a competitor.
Yeah, there you go.
Google's not listening through the microphones of Android devices.
Right.
It's too much data.
Well, and there's far more efficient ways, to have detailed information about what you're doing. And that's what they are doing. I mean, they're using the Pixel thing. They're using loyalty card information. There's all these other things that can give them exactly what they need. And it's a lot easier to do than listening to a microphone.
And, you know, and there are things we can do to mitigate, to limit Facebook's tracking of us.
Yes.
And, you know, like I said, we've covered that in the past and we'll have that in the show notes.
Yeah. One of the things that's worked really well for me was deleting the Facebook app off of my iPhone. Just saying. Yeah. All right. Well, the other thing that
that'll stop them from listening.
That'll stop them from listening. That's totally. Yeah. All right. So the other thing that I want to talk about today, we need to jump back to yesterday because my proposal for Apple, which is to drop the hey from when you trigger your S-Lady compatible device. So instead of saying, hey, S-Lady, you just say, S-Lady, turn on the lights. That got a lot of comments.
Yeah, my inbox blew up over this, and I wasn't even on the show.
There were so many comments that it just kind of bled over into everyone.
Yeah, just overflowed into my email too.
Yeah, I mean, it was like it spilled out of my screen. I had to get out the broom and sweep up the floor. Anyhow, so we needed to come back to this because listeners, you guys had a lot to say. So one of the really common comments, aside from yes, you nailed it, and all these people validating my feeling that it's time to drop the hay. This other thing that came up a lot was maybe it's about three syllables, because you have three syllables when you trigger the S lady, the A lady, or the G lady. And
three or four with Google.
Yeah. So you have at least three syllables, and with the C lady, you had four syllables up until now, because they dropped the hay from Cortana,
leaving them with three.
But here's the deal: it's not necessarily a hard rule that you need to have three syllables. If you go into the Alexa app settings and you change the trigger word for the A-Lady, you can change it to Echo, which is only two syllables. So, and that works really well. I tried it to see if I was going to have any problems triggering my Echo to respond. And no, I switched it back to A-Lady because that's what I always use. But I had no problems with Echo turn on the lights.
And we apologize
for the three of you that were using Echo as your trigger word. Sorry about that.
Well, I would have called, if I'd been part of this conversation, I would have called shenanigans on dropping it from the standpoint that I want to be able to talk about Siri without invoking her to it just then.
That was another big comment.
I saw that.
Yep. And I totally get it. And what I found as I was reading that group of comments was that we're having this thing where we want to interact with our technology like we interact with humans, except for when we don't want to do it. So, so I can sit here and talk about John, and John, you may very well respond, even if I didn't intend for you to respond.
Sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
Exactly.
John, you should, I would love to read a piece from you on that topic, that we want to interact with our technology like a human unless we don't. That really seems like a John Martellaro topic.
I will ponder that.
And when I hear you say, I will ponder that, I know how this plays out. A few days later, you're going to have this brilliant piece. So yep. I'm looking forward to that. So yeah, I just found it interesting that, and I'm not discounting the validity of not wanting to invoke a voice assistant device just by talking about it, which is something that I do all the time with my Echo. But at the same time, I want to interact with these devices in a more human way. And it feels weird and awkward and not human for me to say, hey, S-Lady, every time I want to have it do something, when I'm talking in a more human feeling way to my Echo, when I just say, hey, lady, turn on the lights.
What if you combined it with long-range Face ID? That is a scanner that would scan the room, and it would be a very subtle gesture. You know, maybe you would maybe you would move your hand in the direction of the device, the HomePod,
like lift your wrist and talk to it.
Yeah. And it would pick up on that. And if you didn't make that subtle hand gesture, it would figure you were using Siri in conversation.
On one hand, I can see where that would be useful. But on the other hand, see how I did that with the hands? What if you are in the middle of preparing dinner and you want to say, "A lady, set a 5-minute timer while you're chopping." You don't want to stop and then have to turn and wave.
Yeah, I admit it doesn't necessarily have to be a hand gesture. It could be a wrinkling of your nose in a certain way.
Yeah, but that would still involve having to in some way aim your body towards the sensor.
Well, maybe that's a good idea. It's the expression of intent.
What if we added the syllable to, we turned Siri's name into a pet name? So like, you know, Sirikins or Siri Boo or Siri Pay. And so that way we could talk about Siri, but when we wanted to invoke her, we could go, you know, Siri Pay.
Okay. I want to walk around my place going, "Siri Bay, turn on the lights, yo." And this is why I live alone.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I totally accept that what I want to do is not without its flaws. But man, I just really like the idea of interacting with my voice assistants in a more human way. And I feel I'm getting that already with the A lady.
Listen. I mean, maybe it's because I live in Silicon Valley, which may actually be at the root of all this problem anyway. Right. But I say, "Hey, Jeff, blah, blah, blah," all the time. "Hey, John, something, something, something." I mean, this is a normal part of my conversation.
Sure, but it's not what you do all the time. And that's why in my piece that I ended up writing about this, I said it should be optional. So you can use the "Hey" or not, and it just knows and listens, which would be like when we're having a conversation. So sometimes I say, "Brian, would you like to go get lunch?" And you don't come back with, "Hey, Jeff, yes." You come back with,
"Oh, I see the problem right away." If I were writing that article, I would probably dwell on the idea that it's good that we remain conscious that we're not talking to another human being. Because as soon as we start treating the device like another human being, we're going to have expectations of it as another human being, especially for young people who don't understand the limitations of the device.
You know, I think the trigger word using "Hey" isn't going to make any difference for people.
No, John's on to something here, man. John's on to something.
Anything you can do to distinguish between the fact that it's not a perfect human being is probably helpful.
That is, dude, you're, when is this piece going to be written?
Brian likes my idea.
That's
cool.
I really want you to explore this because, I mean, it's a fascinating.
You are on to something, man. You are on to something.
Tell me what you think about that.
Well, I mean, the idea that it's purposeful to actually make it not like interacting with a human because it's not human, because the thing doesn't have the capabilities of a human, because Apple and possibly Google don't want us thinking of it in terms of a human. Not to mention, of course, the ability to talk about her without invoking her. That there could be a lot of merit. I mean, and maybe it's not even purposeful. Maybe that's been subconscious within the you know, the engineers that are doing this stuff. But that's certainly I'm finding it to be a profound idea.
Well, I'm certain that Google and then Amazon and the others like us to think of the device as human, but it's not. And there's that blurring of the distinction between reality and what they'd like us to think is to their benefit. And I would propose that we all remain conscious of the fact that we're talking to a machine with limitations and that might as well be put up front. Yeah.
I like it.
I like it. And at the same time, I think that there's a lot of people that may not be interested in distinguishing between the artificial interaction and the meat space interaction, you know, like real people. And they just want that interaction with S lady or G lady or whoever to feel more like interacting with an actual human.
But that's John's entire point.
Falling into that trap is a societal issue.
And
yeah. That's the entire point here is that the construction keeps us from doing that on purpose.
All right. So here's the part that comes after I took the breath, which is, and I don't think it matters ultimately if we put that construct in there that's supposed to remind people this interaction is with a machine and not a human. I think a lot of people are just going to disregard that.
Yeah, but as soon as you blur that distinction, Jeff, then people start, you know what happens is the society as a whole falls into the trap of thinking that it really is a human consciousness, that it is equivalent to another human being, and they start treating it that way, and then that leads to other social problems.
I think we've already headed down that path. When we got to the point where we could use our voice to interact with technology like we do today, even though it's stunningly rudimentary, that barrier started crumbling.
Well, I agree that the barrier's crumbling, but as soon as you fool people into thinking that they're talking to a fully conscious human being, you create new problems.
Put another way, whether or not people are conscious of it, John's point is that this artificial construct does remind us that we're invoking a device.
That's probably the bigger issue. I agree, Brian.
And that people don't have to be conscious that that's what it's doing for it to be playing its role and be playing its role in managing expectations as well as guiding the way we interact with it.
Yep.
Do you think that works for younger people? Oh, and what I'm thinking
about, it's going to work with toddlers. Anybody.
Like little kids today that are growing up in a world where this has always been, where you can always talk to technology.
Well, I mean, if you want to go down that road, none of this is going to matter once the genetically modified Ubermen end up, you know, killing us all. So, I mean, you know.
So there is that.
I mean, you know, yeah, I think that children are absolutely smart enough to realize that they're interacting with these devices in a way that's different than the way they interact with the humans around them. They'll get it instinctively.
And do they need to have an artificial construct for that?
Well, but the artificial construct guides that. That's John's point. It's just the artificial construct that's guiding the entire thing. And, you know, and it all of course, wrapped up in all of the baggage that we have with interacting with, you know, with each other on a daily basis. You know, all the things that we never think about that are, you know, just like, you know, buried deep in our psychosis somewhere about what it means to interact with people. I mean, the point here is that the artificial construct guides that from the get-go.
Right. And that keeps the kids from talking to the artificial device in ways they shouldn't.
There's some wonderful videos on YouTube about kids talking with.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that, John.
Well, expecting expert counsel, you know, pouring out their fears and concerns and expecting a proper response. I mean, who knows what happens when a young person who's upset and disturbed and emotionally wrought comes home and says, well, this is a, you know, fully conscious human being on the other end because I grew up with it that way. And I'm going to talk to it in a new way. I'm going to pour my heart out to this device and start talking to it. What are the responsibilities of the AI on the other end? What's done with that information? What privacy concerns are there? We just talked about Facebook collecting that information. These are just one specter that arises in my mind when you start treating the device the wrong way because your recognition of its essence is skewed.
All right, so I've let us run over because I am so loving this conversation. And I have been playing devil's advocate with a lot of the things that I've been tossing out there. John, I totally agree that it's really important that we remember that the devices we're talking to are not human, and they can't be human, and we shouldn't expect them to react to us in the same way that humans do. And I don't know what the ultimate answer is to make sure that we have that balance between feeling like we're having a natural interaction, but remembering that we're interacting with a device and not a living conscious being.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance.
It is. And yet I still want Apple to drop hay because I just feel like I'm having this awkward interaction every time I walk into the room and start talking to my HomePod. So, all right. Well, we are like way over time, so we really need to wrap up. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Indeed. Thanks for having us.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
It was my pleasure. Nice to be here.
It's great to have both of you here. And I love where our S-Lady conversation took us today. That was absolutely fantastic. And listeners, thank you so much for all the comments about dropping hay, because every single one of your comments, I mean, seriously, every single one of your comments was great. There wasn't a single person that came up with a comment that I felt was inappropriate or misguided in any way. Everyone
was all fantastic.
Yeah, it was all great. So thank you so much for all of those comments. And I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Monday.